Everyone, let's go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, today is Thursday, March 20th, 2008, here in the Belch Room in the State Capitol in Juneau. We're convening in about 20 minutes to 2 in the afternoon. Members present are Senators Bundy, Davis, and Ellis, and we expect Senator Stevens here momentarily. We have just two items on the agenda, but before that, an announcement that no Saturday meeting this weekend, but please plan on a Labor and Commerce Committee meeting the following Saturday, and we'll let you know as soon as possible if that's necessary, but it's very likely to be necessary. Okay, let's turn to Senator Thomas's legislation, Senate Bill 263, Architects, Engineers, Surveyors, Board Exemption. This is the only committee of referral on this legislation. We did adopt the committee substitute, to remind members, at our last hearing, and Senator Thomas had a few brief comments before we consider action on the bill. Senator Thomas, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like you said, just a couple of brief comments to refresh people's memories. CS for Senate Bill 263 amends the composition of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors to allow for the appointment of a petroleum or chemical engineer if a mining engineer is not available to serve. If you remember, there's only 14 mining engineers, and sometimes there is some difficulty getting that particular spot filled, but they will always go back to the mining engineer when the vacancy exists. Section 2, the only other change to the bill is it exempts who design fire detection or suppression systems from AS 0848. If they are authorized to design a fire detection or suppression system by the Alaska Department of Public Safety, that's who will register those folks now and authorize them. So those are the two minor changes to the bill, and I have received no opposition to the bill, and I'm not sure that anybody has contacted you one way or the other. And also, if you did have any questions, Ginger Morton, who is the executive administrator for the AELS, is here. And also, in the packet, there is the regulations are in the packet in case anybody has any specific questions about those. With that, I urge your support and passage of CSSB 263.
Okay. Senator Thomas, thank you. There's good backup and good staff work on the bill, so we appreciate that. Any comments or questions for the sponsor or the other resource folks available to us? If not, we do have some additional public testimony. Mr. Jerry Kiffer, are you there online?
Yes, I am.
Please give your name and affiliation again for the record and go right ahead on this bill, Senate Bill 263.
Yes, I'm going to support 320, not 263.
Okay, I had you signed up for both bills, so we'll hold you until we get to the next piece of legislation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry for the misunderstanding. Is there anyone here in the room who would like to make any comments about the bill? If not, we're going to set aside action on this bill for a few moments and go on to the next legislation, and we'll come back to this one in a little bit, hopefully during this hearing. Let's move on. Senator Thomas, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll just we'll get to it here in a moment. Next is House Bill 320. I spoke with Representative Meyer. He's very understandably busy in the House Finance Committee, so we take no offense that he's not able to join us on his bill today. He sent his capable staffer, Mr. Pawlowski. This is the first hearing on the bill. It's not our plan to take action today, but to get the initial presentation out of the way and then to have the bill back before us in the very near future. I'd like to note for the record that Senator Stevens has joined us. Mr. Pawlowski, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Pawlowski, and I'm an aide for Representative Kevin Meyer. This piece of legislation was brought to Representative Meyer's attention by a constituent, as many pieces of legislation are. The issue that confronts the state of Alaska and our search and rescue community is that due to the, I'd say, extreme geographic distances, the lack of manpower, the state of Alaska has traditionally relied on volunteers to participate and assist the troopers in conducting search and rescue operations. When we started digging into the bill, the question really came up of why volunteers assisting the state on a search and rescue mission aren't provided directly with workers' compensation coverage, since the state does rely on them. Our first question initially was, well, what other volunteers in the state are given analogous coverage? And one of the first ones that we discovered is that volunteers assisting the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs on disaster relief in other states are given workers' compensation coverage by the state. Looking at our large search and rescue community and the dangerous task they undertake for our state, Representative Meyer believed that it was important that we provide workers' compensation coverage to these individuals that are out there participating in what is well over 700 missions a year. The bill is fairly simple, Mr. Chairman. It begins by adding authority in Section 1 to the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety to conduct a training exercise. And this would be a situation where the Department of Public Safety brings in search and rescue volunteers and groups, conducts a training exercise. The second substantive amendment in the bill you will find in Section 5. And Section 5 was a compromise that we came to working with the Municipal League and the state. And the question really became is that there are two levels of workers' compensation and search and rescue operations. The first and primary is the one run by the troopers. That's the one the state has control over. The second was operations run by a municipality. The compromise that we reached was that rather than the states forcing municipalities to provide coverage, we would allow municipalities to elect to provide coverage. That really puts the impetus and the onus on the local borough assemblies or the community to decide what level of coverage they should provide, but that the state would step up for its volunteers. And the state assuming that liability you find in Section 6 of the bill, and that just says that while on a training mission operated and conducted by the troopers or a search and rescue mission overseen by the troopers, if a volunteer gets injured, they will receive workers' compensation as a state employee, as several other employee volunteers in statute are given coverage. That's the base of the bill, Mr. Chairman, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about it.
Okay. Mr. Pulaski, thanks for being here. Senator Bundy?
I see the fiscal note from Department of Public Safety. They want $100,000 for a person to create regulations and manage this program. It seems a little excessive, but I'll let finance fight that out. Coming from a finance committee, I'm surprised that it stayed this high. But how will this impact insurance rates? The premiums obviously have to go up if we're going to have more coverage.
Senator Bundy, through the chair, Brad Thompson from the Division of Risk Management is here. He can speak to how those rates are calculated. As I understand it, it's based on actual claim experience. And in the last 10 years, we've seen claim experience of about $3,000. So I'll let him speak to that. But these are very competent volunteers, and the risk of injury, I think, is fairly low, which is why you see an indeterminate fiscal note.
Okay. We'll bring up Mr. Thompson in a moment. Senator Bundy, anything else on
no, thank you.
Time? Okay. Further questions, Senator Stevens. No problem.
It's just if you cover the issue of the volunteer fire department, I'm in a sentence, please. Right now, they can be covered under boroughs, can't they? Or are they not already covered? So how does this change that that process?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, it doesn't change the process. You're absolutely correct. They are covered under boroughs. What this does is add search and rescue volunteers to the list of people a borough can elect to provide coverage for. So it puts them in that same class and lets the borough decide if they would like to provide coverage. And you'll find that in Section 5 of the bill.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, maybe I'm not reading this right, but I'm looking at the third from the bottom of your sponsor statement. It says municipalities are allowed to provide coverage to the volunteer fire department, ambulance police, but not the volunteers that perform search and rescue operations. That's because those volunteers are covered under the other portion of the bill.
Senator Stevens, through the chair, municipalities currently cannot provide workers' compensation coverage because search and rescue volunteers are not listed in the statute of volunteers that they're allowed to provide coverage to. The separate part of the bill is the state providing coverage for its own volunteers.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Stevens. Okay, Mr. Pulaski, thank you for being here. If you could just switch over to that chair. I apologize for jumping around here, but we don't want to burn up Senator Thomas's time here. He made his presentation. Senator Thomas, if you come back to the table.
Sure.
This is the time then, as I noted before everyone was here, we have adopted a committee substitute. Senator Thomas took us through those changes. No known opposition to the bill. We have completed the public hearing on the bill. The chair is ready to entertain any discussion of Senate Bill 263. or any committee action at this time. Is there any discussion? Senator Bundy.
I would move from committee SB 263 with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there any, thank you, Senator Bundy. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 63 moves on to the Rules Committee for potential calendaring on the Senate floor.
Thank you very much.
Senator Thomas, thanks for your good work on the bill.
Yeah, great.
And to Senator Bundy for the motion. Okay, let's move back to the bill before us, House Bill 320. I think we completed all questions for Mr. Pawlowski. Mr. Thompson, could you come forward? And as he's coming forward, I'd note that Mr. Paul Lasanke from Workers' Comp Division is available to answer if there are any questions for him. But Mr. Thompson, you were in the room, I believe, and heard the questions. So yes. Please go ahead.
For the record, Brad Thompson, Director of Division of Risk Management for the state of Alaska. If I may, if I recall the question, it was as regards the premium calculation for the municipalities for the volunteers.
Senator Bundy?
Well, because we're going to cover additional people, and rightfully so, I think we should, just so we have a full disclosure, what the premium calculations might be because we're covering additional people.
That would be a matter of the NCCI filing, but typically as a comparison, the firefighter that's a volunteer, the premium calculation for a volunteer fireman, I mean, a typical comp premium is assessed on a per $100 basis of the wage earned. Mm-hmm. For a volunteer, of course, there's no wage. For a volunteer fireman, they take an assumed wage of $2,000, and they apply the same rate that would be applied as against a paid fireman. So it ends up being a couple hundred dollars per volunteer fireman annually for premium for workers' comp that is already provided in the Act in separate sections. So I would assume that they would do a similar calculation for the volunteer if there is any premium assessed. It's very indeterminate whether the volunteer would actually be engaged by a municipality. As to the state, we self-insure. We're an authorized self-insured employer. So we have input indeterminate fiscal note, but quite frankly, we already, as a matter of practice, provide protection to volunteers under service to the state for all of its agencies. And so we, through an agreement, a written agreement, provide similar but not as extensive a benefit to a volunteer. Only if there is a future claim would that cost be borne by risk management, ultimately input into the total cost of risk or calculation for the Department of Public Safety to be factored in the future year allocation from us. So it's an indeterminate amount. It's likely to be it could be a significant amount in the event of fatality, but thus far Mike mentioned, there's been no loss history. We've had three events of a very small amount of medical-only cost.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Anything further for Mr. Thompson? If not, thank you. We should at this time see if there are any questions at this stage for Mr. Lasanke. Anybody have anything for him? If not, Mr. Lasanke, thanks for being with us. We'll proceed on then with folks on the teleconference for public testimony. Mr. Chuck Springer, followed by Bill Romberg. Mr. Springer, are you there?
Yes, this is Chuck Springer. The purpose behind this concept, this bill, was to try to protect the many different volunteer searchers throughout the state who go out 24/7, 365 to look for our loved ones. And my great concern was that during these times and during times of some of their training, that they're putting themselves and their families at risk. And the idea behind this bill is to try to protect them from that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Springer. Are there any comments or questions for the presenter? If not, thank you for being with us. Mr. Bill Romberg, followed by Lieutenant Dial. Mr. Romberg?
Yes, this is Bill Romberg. Do you hear me?
Loud and clear. Please give your affiliation and go ahead.
Yes, my name is Bill Romberg. I'm with the Alaska Mountain Rescue Group. I'm the vice chair for that organization. And just wanted to speak today in support of the intent of this bill and the language, particularly under Section 6. We are a 50-member volunteer search and rescue organization based out of Anchorage, and we have been serving the state of Alaska and its citizens since the late 1950s, and our number one goal when we work with the state to look for people who are lost or injured in the mountains is safety of our rescuers, and we have an excellent safety record. We do not have a fatality in our 50-plus year history, and we intend to keep it that way. But we echo the sentiments of Mr. Springer that when our volunteers do go out at the request of the Alaska State Troopers, there is some exposure there to risk and injury and to their families, and we would like to have a little more protection for our members and offer that to them for the service they provide to the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Romberg. We appreciate your time today. Lieutenant Dial, and then we'll go to the Ketchikan site for Jerry Kiffer, and then on to Kodiak for Nick Szabo. Lieutenant Dial?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Rodney Dial. I'm a lieutenant with the Department of Public Safety, Alaska State Troopers. We support this bill and would like to offer a few comments concerning it. If this bill passes, the department will be responsible to provide the same level of oversight to search and rescue training as we currently do for search and rescue missions. We feel that this oversight is critical to assure that we don't injure searchers and create situations where we're rescuing the rescuers. We also feel that our stringent oversight of search and rescue missions over our history is one of the reasons that we've had less than a half dozen searchers injured and no deaths in at least the last 20 years. This bill will essentially make the department responsible for training. We are largely not involved in that currently, and we need that same to exercise that same level of oversight. We essentially need to make sure that the training is appropriate and relevant, that it's safe with the appropriate controls, that it's limited to authorized participants to reduce the incentive for unscrupulous individuals to defraud the system. We need to factor in environmental conditions such as avalanche, thin ice, rough seas, other hazards when we approve training. And finally, we need the periodic inspections of the training and process to assure that the search and rescue groups are following their training plans. Our fiscal note reflects our concern that we simply do not have the ability to conduct these additional responsibilities without additional resources at this time. And that's why we've submitted the fiscal note. We feel that without very stringent controlled oversight, we're going to increase the number of injuries and expend future funds to rescue the rescuers, as well as the department potentially being on the hook for some increased workers' compensation premiums in the future. Currently, we have over 1,000 searchers statewide, numerous search and rescue groups, and have consistent turnover in the SAR community. So, that concludes my testimony. I'm available to answer any questions anybody might have. Thank you.
Lieutenant Dial, thanks for your time today. We appreciate your law enforcement service. Senator Bundy has a question or comment.
Thank you. I was led to believe by previous testimony that you normally use people like the Mountain Rescue Group, Coast Guard Auxiliary, any other number of groups that they train themselves. And I'm seeing a little mission creep here where you want to start a new program. You're already using people that are trained by their own group. We've had testimony that there haven't been a rash of accidents. As a matter of fact, there's very few accidents. So I don't understand the need to institute a new training program.
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, what this bill does is it says that only the commissioner or the commissioner's designee may authorize a person to participate in search and rescue training. We don't want to see an environment that encourages some people to call their weekend snow machine trip a training exercise, or a situation where some search and rescue groups may take additional risks because they now have coverage. Or even create a situation where some will join a search and rescue group for the wrong reasons, such as to get a benefit or for a pre-existing injury or to feign injury and get workers' compensation coverage. And you are right. In the past, we really didn't have that oversight of the search and rescue community as far as training went. They trained themselves. However, this bill pretty much says that we are now responsible for authorizing that training. If we're going to hold that responsibility, we want to make sure that it's appropriate training and it's conducted to our standards and that people aren't out there getting hurt because we don't want people to get hurt, but also because our future premiums and the department's costs are going to be based upon the people that become injured under this bill. So that's why we have submitted the fiscal note, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that, and I think the main emphasis of the bill is to provide workers' comp under the way the system has worked, and I question the need to put in there that the department should be responsible for training. Perhaps we can discuss that as we go through the markup.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Bundy, and thank you, Lieutenant Dial. Let's go now to the Ketchikan site for Jerry Kiffer, followed by, in Kodiak, Nick Szabo. So if you could all
Szabo.
Nick, if you could be ready to go. But Jerry, Mr. Kiffer, please go ahead now.
Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Kiffer. I live at 439 North Point Hills Road in Ketchikan. And I support 320. And honestly, this is the largest leap forward in search and rescue that I've seen in Alaska in my 30-some years of being a search and rescue volunteer. And I'm kind of echoing a little bit what's already been said, in that the training that is being conducted throughout Alaska with your volunteer professionals truly is top-notch. What our problem is here is we, as a search manager, I would be negligent to send one of my volunteers on an authorized mission for the state and not have that person adequately trained. What that does for the search and rescue community, however, is it's forcing us to do our training with absolutely no insurance coverage whatsoever. The workers' compensation is a huge benefit. We don't have many injuries here. We've been in business since 1948, and we've only had three minor injuries. That liability is out there. The new section 2330246 is extremely important to us. I really look forward to working with Department of Public Safety to more standardize this training, and maybe working locally with our local troopers to make sure that this training is conducted in a safe manner. But I'd like to really ask for the support for the bill. I think that maybe we can talk about some language concerning the oversight. I'd be more than willing to help out with that. But I urge your support. I think that our people down here spend about a minimum of 100 to 150 hours a year just in training, and that's a bare minimum. And a lot of times it's taken 20 or 30 members to do even a simple operation down here. So I urge your support, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kiefer. We appreciate you being here today and your work with the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad. For that matter, on behalf of the entire committee, we thank all the search and rescue folks who are here today. Let's go on to Mr. Szabo.
Szabo.
At the Kodiak site.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Nick Szabo. I'm a member of Kodiak Island Search and Rescue, and I'd like to speak in favor of House Bill 320. We're a volunteer organization composed of a dog search team, a mountain rescue team, and a ground search team. Our teams train throughout the year. We respond to calls, to call-outs from the Alaska State Troopers and assist the troopers and the U.S. Coast Guard in various search and rescue activities, such as lost hunters and hikers, field accidents, and avalanche victims. Our members participate in these activities at some peril and receive no compensation. We feel they deserve to have some protection for their livelihoods and families for the service they perform for the state. Thank you.
Mr. Szabo, thank you for getting right to the point. We appreciate your time today. Senator Stevens has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Nick, what are the number of incidents you've responded to? Can you give me a count in a normal year?
Oh, Senator Stevens, through the chair. I don't know. I'm trying to think. We probably responded to about two. Let's see, probably about no About 3 or 4 a year, I would say, on the average.
Thank you, Nick. I know the work they do, and it's really necessary and important when you have so many hunters out in the field and hikers. Thank you, Nick.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Stevenson. Thank you, Mr. Szabo, for your service. That completes the public testifiers I have signed up. Is there anyone here in the Belch Room who'd like to come in on the bill? Mr. Pulaski, if you could come back to the table, please. There have been some suggestions. Senator Bundy had a suggestion. There have been some other things suggested, and I guess between now and the next time we're together on this legislation, we'd want to consider if it would be reasonable to offer any of those changes in a committee substitute or markup through individual amendments by members. Senator Stevens, did you have something?
Yeah, just a question, and I apologize for not knowing this, but say somebody is injured and goes on to search and rescue, not on a salary of any kind, not being paid for it. They go on to workers' comp. What kind of compensation do they receive? Now, I see if this bulletin I have is right, it says the maximum compensation $939, the minimum compensation is $207. How is it determined where that person actually falls within that range? Is it based on, well, why don't you tell me what it's based on?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I was going to actually suggest that maybe we bring Paul Lysenki and Brad Thompson up here to talk about the compensation level that was put in the bill and kind of why that was.
Thank you.
Okay. Gentlemen? Okay. Paul can handle it. Okay.
I'll take a stab at it. For the record, my name is Paul F. Lysenki. I'm the director of the Division of Workers' Compensation within the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Senator Stevens, through the chair, every year under a separate portion of the Workers' Compensation Act, the Department of Labor formulates an average weekly wage for the state. And so this bill seizes upon that average weekly wage as the imputed gross earnings of the injured volunteer. And then when that's put into the calculation formulas that the Division of Workers' Compensation uses to formulate actual compensation rates, I took a look at what that would convert to in 2008. And as you probably know, it varies somewhat based on whether you're married or single and whether you have dependents. So just to give two examples, if you're a single person with only yourself as a dependent, by my calculation, the weekly compensation rate would be just under $500, $499.58 per week. If, on the other hand, you were married and you had 4 dependents, the weekly compensation rate would be $547.27 a week. From our perspective as the division, that's one less thing for people to battle over because, you know, obviously it's pretty hard to impute wages where there are none. And so that's actually, in our view, it makes it much easier for us to apply this bill if you do pass it into law.
Okay. Anything further for Mr. Lysenki? That's Paul F. Lysenki.
Well, thank you. That's a very, very clear explanation of how you determine those, purely based on a married and number and dependents.
Yes, through the chair.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bundy, for Mr. Lysenki?
For the
sponsors, sponsor
staff.
Sponsor staff.
Frame my question first. I think it's absolutely fair that anyone who's volunteering for this state in a rescue situation be covered by workers' comp. I'm 100% supportive of that. Having said all that, and I thank them for all the work they do, and nothing I say should be intended to demean what they do, but it also seems as if it's also, I'll use the word hobby for the mountain rescue people. They love to climb, and they like to help. They want to be of service. But it is a people in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, people are in the CAP. These people are doing things. They're involved in activity they enjoy, and they enjoy passing their knowledge and training on to each other. I have some real concerns about troopers having to take on another job, and that would be coordinating and providing training for, or at least approving training for these various groups. We don't have enough troopers as it is. They're having trouble hiring troopers, and now we're going to create another position that where the troopers have to do something other than law enforcement. And I would just give you and the sponsor notice that I'm considering an amendment to take out that responsibility and appreciate your response to that.
Mr. Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Bundy through the chair. This was something that we did go back and forth over in crafting the bill and working with the search and rescue community. I think at issue is perhaps a little bit of a misunderstanding at what Section 1 does. If you read Section 1 of the bill, what it does is it allows the commissioner or the commissioner's designee, which is different language than calling up a search operation, to conduct training. It doesn't preclude a group from performing training on their own. The search and rescue community originally asked for coverage during training that they ran. And in working with the Department of Public Safety, the idea was more that you start with coverage during the mission. Well, if the commissioner decides to bring these groups together and organize a training mission that is organized by the state, run by the state, the sponsor didn't believe that that was really fundamentally any different than an active mission. So we could have a bit of a disagreement between the sponsor's office and the troopers over how many of these training missions might actually be conducted in a given year. But at the same time, we do understand that there are more than 1,000 search and rescue volunteers in the state. I would direct you to probably talk to Department of Public Safety about the fiscal note, because our understanding was that it was going to be a non-commissioned position so that we weren't getting into the issue of competing with hiring other troopers. At the same time, the sponsor does firmly believe that protecting people in the backcountry, the state relies on these volunteers to do that, and that's an important mission of the Department of Public Safety. So we wanted to ensure that the volunteer community is strong, that they're protected, that they're well-trained, that they're coordinated with the department. And the state does have a little bit of a role to play in that, saying that using volunteers saves us a lot of money in terms of troopers that would be forced to do the same type of work. That's the sponsor's perspective on it.
Okay. Senator Stevens, on that point, then I was going to call on Lieutenant Dial to see if he had any comments on Senator Bundy's concern.
I'm not sure it's really on that point.
Okay, so could we call?
Yes.
Lieutenant Dial, are you still there? And would you like to, are you prepared to comment on Senator Bundy's concern and a prospective amendment that I think will come before us in the future?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think our primary concern is if we are not the ones that are approving and authorizing training. And let me preface this by saying that groups like KVRS, Alaska Mountain Rescue, top-notch, we would have very few concerns with their training. However, unless we have some oversight, we really didn't see anything that would prevent two or more people from any location in the state from calling themselves a search group and then taking out off on a weekend snow machine trip and somebody gets hurt and now saying, you know, we want workers' compensation coverage. We really see potentially a Pandora's box there where we could open this up to far more people than the 1,000 core searchers that we have currently. So we really feel that we need that control to say, if you want coverage for training, then we need to have some kind of control over that training to be able to say, you are an approved search and rescue group, this is an approved search and rescue mission, and we feel that your training exercise does not create undue risk for anybody. So it's just it's a real concern that, not with the larger groups so much, but just the smaller ones that have very few searches in a year and primarily do far more training than searching, that we need to have that oversight or we're going to have a workers' compensation premium that's going to be unmanageable for the department.
Okay, thank you, Lieutenant. Senator Bundy on that point?
Yeah, thank you. Well, as I understand it, volunteers are activated, for lack of a better word, by the department. And I can't imagine the department's going to activate the two people who snow machine and drink beer and call themselves volunteers. You're going to deal with organized and recognized volunteer and search and rescue groups, aren't you?
Lieutenant?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, that is correct. And if we do have that ability to designate and authorize persons to participate in the training exercises, we're not going to do that to just a few people that want to go out and do that. If that is removed from this bill and coverage is provided to any search and rescue group, we won't have that ability to say no.
Maybe I'm not asking my question well. Currently, there's a problem, someone's lost, the troopers want help, they call on recognized search and rescue groups, the Ketchikan group or Kodiak group or somebody else that is an established group in the state.
Through the chair, Senator Gabundi, that is correct.
And so those would be the only people that would be then covered by workers' comp. It isn't going to be somebody who just shows up and says, I'll help. They've got to have been asked for help by the Department of Public Safety. Isn't that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Gabundi, we don't. The concern is that would stay the same in the future regarding missions. However, coverage would be extended to training, and we have no involvement in training presently.
So that may be the crux to to not put coverage on training.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We got down the road there with that question. Senator Stevens on another point.
No, really. Actually, it is on the same point, sure. And I think it's a major issue that Senator Bundy has brought up that we would be in the potential predictable position of training of covering people not only when they're being trained by the department, but also being trained in their own organization, and that could be pretty extensive. I understand. It's an interesting point. Thank you.
Food for thought and potential refinement of the bill. Okay. Were there any other, I wasn't taking notes, but were there any other tune-ups or suggestions or concerns that were suggested by anyone testifying or committee members that you wanted to respond to?
Mr. Chairman, no. I would just offer our commitment to work with members about the strictness of the language in Section 1 of the bill and how that coverage relates with Section 6.
Okay. Hopefully we can have some language or some thoughts about that at the next committee hearing. We hope to have the bill back before us in the near future. I sense good support for the legislation moving through, but that's a concern that we'll need to address in some fashion. Is there anything further for Mr. Pulowski? If not, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of the committee.
If there's nothing else on House Bill 320, we're going to hold this over for further consideration and have it back before us in the near future. Yep. And I'm not sure when folks came in. No committee meeting this Saturday, but we're very likely to need a committee meeting a week from this Saturday. Senator Bundy, did you have something?
Well, and just a further thought on this, and I really want to reemphasize how I support people who are volunteering for the state getting workers' comp. I just have this reservation about all of a sudden, instead of 50 people being covered by workers' comp, now we're going to have thousands covered because they're covered every time they go out on training exercise. And they may like that, they may want that, but remember, again, this is something they're choosing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Stevens.
And along that, I think the issue, certainly, that people should be covered when they're on a search and rescue mission, and the real issue, it seems to be the training exercise. So that's why it really does put a onus on the department to figure out when they are authorizing a training, and very clear that because I can see parallels that people say, well, I thought I was on a training mission, but really I wasn't. It wasn't authorized. So it has to be it's going to be a complex system to organize, and look forward to hearing more about it.
Okay. There being no further business before us today, at about 2:19, we are adjourned.